Let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee, and in through that precious and all-worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to worship Thee. We ask, O God, that this day You be pleased to pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us. May we know in a very real way, Lord, Thy presence, and may we feel Thee amongst us, and Lord, hear the voice of God. Be with us just now, aid us in our worship. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to join together with the singing of our opening hymn, hymn number 6, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, to His feet Thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like Thee His praise should sing. Hymn number 6, page 177, if you have a copy of our hymn book, if not, the words will be on the screen. Let's stand to sing. Well, let's join our hearts together again, please, in a word of opening prayer. Let's seek God's face for His presence with us this morning. Our eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee today. We ask, O God, that we might know what it is to praise Thee. We ask, O God, this morning as we come to worship Thee, we ask, Lord, that You'll speak to all of our hearts. We pray, Lord, that there will be that word to us today from God. God forbid that we should hear from man today. Lord, we need to hear from Thee. And Lord, as we hear from Thee, may we know what it is to praise Thee and to worship Thee as we should. Our Father and our God, we look to Thee this morning for help, Lord, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Come and aid us today. Help us, O God, we pray. Lord, may we be very conscious that God is here and that to bless us. Our Father, we pray that you'll come in a very special way amongst us and upon us. Lord, we pray that you'll pour out your Holy Spirit upon us just now. We pray, Lord, you'll come amongst us. We pray, Lord, that this day we'll hear the voice of God. Lord, that you'll remove every other distracting thought. And Lord, for this time, may we know what it is to be shut in with God. Lord, we pray that this day you'll come. And Lord, be one of our number. Lord, we thank thee today. You've promised where the two or the three are gathered in thy name, there thou art in the midst. And Lord, we claim that promise this morning. Come, O God, amongst us. May we, Lord, like John of old, see the Lord walking amongst his church, standing in the midst of his church. And Heavenly Father, we pray, come and stand amongst us today in all of thy great power. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember all those, Lord, who have gathered in God's house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the strength and, Lord, the health you've given to us to be found in the house of God. And our Father, we pray that this morning as we come to worship thee, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be tuned. Lord, that this day we might lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to thee for all that thou hast done for us. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation. We thank the Lord today for our Savior. We thank the Lord for the one who gave his life there on the cross that he might redeem us back to God. We thank the Lord for the finished work of Christ. We thank the Lord for his all-atoning, all-sufficient sacrifice. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this day, Lord, as we come to worship thee, may we realize, Lord, it's all because of Calvary. It's all because of what Christ accomplished for us there that we can come and approach unto thee. Our Father, we pray that you'll lead us and help us this morning. We pray, Lord, you'll even take up our thanks, Lord, for the word that has already gone forth to the children in the Sunday school, to the young people in the Bible class. Lord, speak on into young hearts, O God, we pray, and save, O God, we ask. Lord, we pray that you'll keep your hand upon our children and our young people at this time. May they know, Lord, the touch of God. May they, Lord, know the presence of God. May they know the protecting hand of God upon them, Lord, in this evil and wicked society in which we live. Our Father, we pray that you'll keep our young people away from the things of this old world. God forbid, Lord, that they should make shipwreck of their lives. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll keep them close to thyself. And Lord, we desire that for all of our lives. For Lord, we realize that there but for the grace of God go any one of us. And our Father, we pray that you'll be pleased, Lord, to keep your hand upon us for good. Lord, we pray that you'll remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us this morning. We pray, Lord, for those who are unwell in the congregation. We ask, O God, that you'll touch them and strengthen them. Remember, Lord, today those who are cast down with heavy burdens. Lord, we just pray you'll draw alongside to them. And Lord, may they know the touch of the Master's hand. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art the comforter. Lord, thou art the sympathizing Savior. And Heavenly Father, we pray that all of thy dear people will know thy presence at this time. Remember, Lord, especially our dear brother Tom Patterson. Lord, draw near to him. Remember he and Joan, Lord, at this time. Lord, we pray that you'll touch him and bless him. Lord, as he would receive this treatment. Lord, we pray that day after day may he know the strength of God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And Lord, in thy will, Lord, touch him, restore him, Lord, back to that desired measure of health and strength once again. We pray, Lord, for all across, Lord, our country who need that touch from thee. Lord, many unwell at home or in hospital at this time. We ask, O God, that you be near to them. And Lord, that they will know the strength of the Lord. And Lord, that they'll know thy healing grace being their portion at this time. Remember, Lord, our church. Remember our denomination for good. O God, we pray you'll come. Put your hand upon us. Forgive us, O God. And Lord, be merciful to us and use us once again. Lord, give us a voice in this land, we pray. And Lord, we pray for our land. Lord, we look at our province and we see how it has gone wholesale, Lord, over to the evil one. And O God, we pray that you'll be pleased, Lord, to give, Lord, those who love the name of Christ, Lord, that strength and that backbone to stand up for Christ in these evil and these wicked days. Lord, we cry unto thee. Lord, defeat every plan. Lord, every scheme of the evil one. Lord, defeat those and, Lord, stop those who would preach another gospel and seek to take men and women away from the gospel of Christ. And Heavenly Father, we cry unto thee for another reformation. Lord, we cry unto thee for another move of God. And Heavenly Father, there will be a turning back to Thee. So, Father, we pray You'll bless us. Help us, Lord, today. Lord, all who have gathered in the house of God, may we know Thy presence in a very real and particular way. So help us today. Remember, Lord, those who are serving Thee across our land and across our nation. We pray, Lord, for every missionary of the cross today across, Lord, the world. Encourage them and be with them. Remember, Lord, the persecuted church. Lord, those who cannot gather publicly as we can. Lord, we pray that You'll strengthen their faith. And Lord, give them, Lord, that strength to continue on in their witness and in their living for the Lord. So be with us today. Help us, O God, we ask. Remember throughout this week, we ask, O God, that You'll remember throughout this day. Bless, Lord, this afternoon over in Hollywood. Bless tonight again in the gospel. And Lord, we just cry unto Thee for that move of God here in East Belfast. Lord, we just claim, Lord, this area for Thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray that many will be the slain of the Lord. We would remember our dear brother Philip and Valentina, and Joshua, and Josiah, and Jessica. Lord, bless them. Lord, we thank Thee for how they've been able to move up now to London. And Lord, bless them this week, especially, Lord, as Philip would be ordained and installed there as the new minister in South Grove in London. Lord, encourage him. Bless his ministry. And Lord, may he know great help from heaven. Bless the family. Lord, help them to settle in quickly. Remember the children as well. Lord, help them to settle into their new schools. And Lord, give them an acceptance amongst the people. Our Father, we just pray that, Lord, across our nation, and Lord, for every faithful herald of the gospel, that You'll encourage Thy servants, and may we see signs to follow the preaching of the glorious gospel. So hear and answer our prayer, and be with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms and to the Psalm number 87. Psalm number 87, please. Psalm number 87. It's a short psalm, so we'll take time to read this psalm together. Psalm number 87. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things of thee are spoken of, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon. To them that know me, behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. The highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well, the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. And all my springs are in thee. Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of that psalm. We pray the Lord will bless that psalm to our hearts. At this stage, let me welcome you all along to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you all in the house of God. We pray the Lord will bless us and meet with us this morning as we come around His Word. To those who are visiting, we welcome you as well. Pray the Lord will bless you and be with you, and thank you for your presence with us this morning. Can I also welcome those who are watching online through our various platforms? May the Lord be with you as you join with us this morning. Just a number of matters I want to leave with you by way of announcement, please, for the week that is before us, God willing. We have our Hollywood Sunday School at 2:30 this afternoon. Do remember that very much in prayer. The Lord will bless and keep His hand upon the children as they gather in Hollywood this afternoon. Then 6:30, we have our gospel service this evening. We encourage you to come back again to the gospel meeting tonight at 6:30. There'll be a short dedication service. Little Telly will be dedicated this evening to the Lord. And so we encourage you to come out and support the family as they give their little one to the Lord. Also, our sister Ruth McRoberts will be here to sing as well. On Tuesday night, our Explorers Club for the boys and girls meets here in the church at 7 p.m. Then on Wednesday, it's a very special day for Hannah. And Hannah, we wish you and Matthew God's richest blessing as you get married and make your vows before the Lord and before the congregation on Wednesday. The Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep His hand upon you in the days that that are before you. So do remember Hannah and Matthew on Wednesday as they get married here in the church. Then on Thursday, slight change from normal. As you know, this Thursday evening we'll see the ordination and installation of our brother Philip Knowles to the ministry in South Grove there in London. And that will also be our prayer meeting night. So we're doing things a little different. And I know many of you would love to have been there and go to London to be with Philip and to support him, because he holds a very special place in the hearts of us all here in Sandown. But we know you can't go there. Some are able to go, and I'm glad I'm able to go over for that as well. But so that we all can feel a little more part of that, we are going to live stream that ordination service here in the church, so that you can all meet together and be a part of that here in the church. Rather than sitting at home and watching it yourselves, then you can feel more a part of it here in the church. Now, it starts at 7 p.m. On Thursday evening. So if you want to be here, then we encourage you to come anytime from about 10 to 7. Although if you're a little after that, don't worry, you'll still get in. So don't come for 8 o'clock, basically, is what I'm saying, because most of it will be over by that stage. And we do encourage you to come that little bit earlier on Thursday evening. Come from around 6:45, 10 to 7, church will be open, and the stream will be shown, the service will be shown here from London, and you will feel a part of that. So please plan to come to that. Bring yourself, bring your family, and bring others with you if you can. All are welcome to that meeting on Thursday night here from 10 to 7. And do remember then the service itself. I pray the Lord will bless Philip as he is ordained and installed to the work of God there in London. Pray the Lord be with him and help him and Valentina and the family as they settle in there to life in London. Then on Saturday, there is a time of prayer organized by our presbytery. That is to pray for our nation, pray for our land at this time. I sent out the link. You need to register for that. It's via Zoom. And I sent out the link yesterday. If you haven't got that, please do let me know, and I'll send it to you again. That's from 10:30 this Saturday morning to 12 noon for that special season of prayer. That's open to everybody that wants to join in via Zoom. Then next Lord's Day, the 31st of October, that is Reformation Sunday. We will be giving both services over to consider some Reformation truths next Sunday. It starts off with the Bible class and Sunday school at 10:15, morning worship at 11:30. Next Sunday morning, we're going to be looking at the subject of salvation by grace, a fundamental aspect of the Reformation and of the gospel, of course, as well. And so we'll look at that subject next Sunday morning. Then the Sunday school in Hollywood at 2:30. And then our gospel service next Sunday evening at 6:30. And we'll be looking at the subject of what really is the gospel. We live in a very confused age concerning what the gospel is. And so we want to look at what the gospel is next Sunday evening. So plan to be with us next Sunday. I'll be here to preach at both of those meetings, 11:30 and 6:30. A few other announcements, please, if you can bear these in mind. If you have a missionary box, then if you could bring that missionary box in, please, to William or Richard as soon as possible. And they'll be emptied and then given back to you. Then we are starting outreach in the month of November. We have 20,000 leaflets to get out around the local area, giving an invitation to the church services. Every Tuesday morning in November, God willing, we're planning to meet for outreach, starting on Tuesday the 2nd of November, meeting here in the church at 10 a.m. So that's Tuesday the 2nd of November at 10 a.m., and then every Tuesday for the rest of November at least, to see how we get on. Now, we know that not everybody's able to get out during the week, so we're having another one on Saturday the 6th of November at 10 o'clock in the meeting here in the church. So I trust you're able to help us in some of those times of outreach as we do this leaflet drop around the local area. Please do remember that. Meeting of our session will be held on Tuesday the 9th of November, and a meeting of our committee will be held on Tuesday the 23rd of November. Do remember the shoebox appeal? If you haven't already, then I'd ask and encourage you to get planning for that and as many shoeboxes as you can get filled for our brother Ronnie McCracken. The closing date for that is the 21st of November. And once you have a shoebox filled or as many shoeboxes filled, then you can bring them into the church and we will pass them all on. If you have any queries or questions, then do see our brother John Kennedy, please, about that. Do continue to remember our brother Tom Patterson. Tom has started further treatment again this week. And do remember Tom, that the Lord will be with him and bless him and keep him in good health over these next number of weeks as he receives this treatment. And as he travels up and down every day to the hospital, the Lord will give him strength. Also remember our sister Betty Sands. Betty took another stroke but is back home again. And I know she appreciates your prayers. And do continue to remember Betty very much in your prayers, please. Again, there are no offerings being lifted up during the meetings at this time, but the boxes are there for you to leave your offerings and your tithes in as you leave. I want to read out a statement here on behalf of our presbytery from the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. And it reads, "The Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster records its thanks to Almighty God for his blessing upon Northern Ireland since its establishment in 1921. As part of the UK, all citizens in Northern Ireland have continued to enjoy those civil and religious freedoms that have been the mark of British life, freedoms that the citizens of many nations can but envy. However, as a denomination, the Free Presbyterian Church is grieved that the centenary service, which took place in St. Patrick's Church of Ireland Cathedral in Armagh on Thursday past, was deliberately planned to promote the unbiblical ethos of religious ecumenism. The event was jointly arranged by the leaders of the four main churches, the Roman Catholic, Episcopal, Presbyterian, and Methodist churches. Such ecumenical union does not represent the views of thousands of Ulster Protestants who do not accept that the Roman Catholic Church is a Christian church. Our opposition to fellowship with Roman Catholicism is theological. Its dogmas concerning, among other things, the Mass and Mariolatry are unscriptural and therefore heretical. Participation in this ecumenical service by the leaders of Episcopalianism, Presbyterianism, and Methodism is a betrayal of the Protestant and Reformed creeds and confessions that these church leaders subscribe and claim to believe. These creeds and confessions we hold dear, for they are the very basis of true liberty of conscience and are the foundation of the religious freedom with which Northern Ireland has been blessed over the past century. We would call on members of these churches to repudiate and withstand the efforts of their ecumenical leaders in their continued betrayal of biblical Protestantism. These ecumenical church leaders state that they saw this service in Armagh as a moment in a much, much longer journey towards reconciliation, which will require the prayerful support and engagement of Christians across these islands. We would remind all who read these lines that true reconciliation among people before Almighty God can be secured only as based on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:20-21 clearly states the reconciliation with God which sinful man needs. In Christ be ye reconciled, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And do remember our land, our nation at this time, a very sad departure once again that we witnessed on Thursday past, a very tragic departure from truth, had nothing at all to do with celebrating or commemorating the formation of our nation. All it had to do was with the promotion of ecumenism. And so we need to pray very much for our land at this time. Let's turn to another hymn at this stage before we come to the Word of God. Hymn is 614. Words will be on the screen. Glorious things of thee are spoken. Zion, city of our God, he whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode. 614, we'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. Should have said as well that the LTBS magazines are available. You should have got a copy on your seat for everyone. They're free, so please take one with you. Also, the LTBS calendars for next year are also available, and if you'd like one, they're £3.50 each. You can take one with you today, take as many with you as you wish, and then you can pay Kyle at another time. Just pop the money in a little envelope, mark it for the LTBS calendars. And we appreciate that. £3.50 for those calendars. We're turning back to Psalm number 87, please, this morning, as we come to consider the subject of church on the sofa or in the sanctuary. And really, we are looking this morning at the whole subject of public worship. And so let's come before the Lord just before we come to His Word and ask for His help around His Word this morning. Eternal God and our Father, we look to Thee. Lord, we thank Thee today that this is Thy Word. And Lord, we pray now for help to preach Thy Word as we ought. We ask, O God, that You'll come by Thy Holy Spirit and breathe upon us. Lord, may we know that Thou art here. May we feel Thy touch. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this will be a very blessed day in the house of God. Lord, that this day we'll know with assurance that God is here. So come, be with us. Give us help just now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why go to church? At a time when almost every church is broadcasting online, does it really matter if we actually get dressed up, go out in our cars and head to church on a Sunday? Can we not just sit at home and watch church online on our sofa? Is that not the same as being in the house? Surely it's more convenient. Is church on the sofa the same as church in the sanctuary? What I want to do this morning is to consider this subject, which I know has sadly been the cause of division and has seen a variance of views throughout the church in recent times. But I want to look at this subject, as we must look at every subject, not through tradition, not through what is normally done, but most importantly, through Scripture. And as we do so, and as I have spent time again studying this subject, making sure from Scripture that we are not just going with tradition, because it's always been the tradition that we go to church. We gather on a Sunday. It is important, vitally important, that we find what Scripture really teaches about the whole realm of public worship and the gathering together of people in a collective manner in one place. Because it is my fear that during this whole pandemic, public worship has been another casualty, and perhaps the silent casualty that goes unnoticed and unspoken about. What I want to say this morning, I want to preface with, first of all, some remarks. I fully understand and I fully appreciate that there are those who, because of ill health, those who are undergoing various treatments, those who, because of a lack of ability to get to their own front door, let alone to the church door, are not able to get to the house of God. I understand that. However, sadly, there are those in good health and those who are able to go out, those who are able to go about their daily tasks, go everywhere else. Yet sadly, the pandemic has been used as a reason for not going to church. They've resorted to church on the sofa and their seat in the sanctuary is empty. And I believe private worship, which we spoke about a little on Thursday evening past, is important. It is important. Personal devotion, personal godliness is vital. But as I have considered the Scriptures again on this subject, I am very much brought to the conclusion that public worship should be considered of even greater value, of greater importance than that of private worship. There are a variety of Scriptures that we will consider this morning as we look at this subject of public worship. First of all, I want us to notice the principle laid down. The principle laid down. We want to go right the whole way back to basics, to look at the very principle of public worship. What is it all about? Is it not just the case that in this technological age that we can sit at home, watch church online, and that's the exact same? Well, through Scripture, I believe it's not. Because I think whenever we look at Scripture, which must be our only rule of faith and practice, when we look at the subject of public worship in Scripture, the basic principle of public worship in Scripture, it will change our outlook. It will make a difference. And surely this morning, as we look at the subject of public worship, may it drive us more and more to love the house of God. May it want us to worship God more and more, not just privately, which is important, but more importantly, publicly. Public worship, the gathering of ourselves together this morning and again this evening, is not just simply about going to church. Public worship, one of the fundamental principles of public worship, is about giving glory to God. First and foremost, public worship is not about us getting something out of it. That, I trust, will happen. But rather, it is about giving glory to God. The very act of public worship brings glory to God. We gather together in a public fashion this morning, not just to see others, not to meet with others, to hear the word. Those are incidentals. First and foremost, the whole subject of public worship is about giving glory to God. Psalm 29 and the verse 2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Our act this morning of public worship is glorifying to God. The very act of us gathering together in this place gives glory to God, and it acknowledges God's glory. Let me give to you some lines from the Westminster Confession of Faith. The Westminster Confession of Faith is our substandard. I don't mean that it's not a very good standard. We mean it's below the Bible. It's not the Bible. But it's a very good doctrine. Teaching. And it says this concerning public worship. "Religious worship is to be given to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and to Him alone, not to angels, saints, or any other creature." Religious worship is to be given to God. Men writing hundreds of years ago, when they did not have the advancements that we have today, medical or technological, they talk about religious worship. It's not an if, it's a certainty. Is to be given to God. The Bible commentator Robert Shaw comments that religious worship consists in that homage and honor which we give to God as being of infinite perfection. And you see, through the various aspects of public worship, our prayer, our praise, our preaching, all of those, and our participating as well, all of those give glory to God. Through the Bible reading, through the worship, through the songs of praise, through the praying, God and God alone is to be worshipped. And as we worship Him in that manner, then we are glorifying Him. Is the matter of public worship, gathering together, just a recent thing? I would suggest to you it's not. Come with me, if you will, please, back to the book of Leviticus. Because I want to
show to you from Scripture how this principle of public worship to glorify God is, it's not a recent thing. It has been something that the people of God have done throughout the history of the ages. Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8 and the verse 3. Here the Lord is speaking unto Moses. Leviticus chapter 8 and the verse 3, and he says this, "Gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." That's public worship. They were coming to offer their sacrifices. The Lord said to Moses, "Gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Come over a little more into the book of Numbers, in the chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8 and the verse number 9. And again, the Lord speaking unto Moses. And he says, "And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together." Together. The Lord again is instructing and commanding public worship. They were to come together. On over in the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy and the chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and the verse 10, "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, and the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people," here's the same word, "together." Why? "And I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." There's a sermon all in one verse of itself. Together. Together. Together in one place. There are many, many other passages of Scripture that we could turn to. I want to leave one other with you. In the book of Psalms again this time, the Psalm number 74. Psalm 74. Psalm 74 in the verse 4. And this speaks of the congregations, and again the thought is of coming together. Psalm 74 and the verse 4, it says, "Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations." You take that word congregation in the original, it means a coming together. Together. This was a practice continued on in the New Testament. Turn over to the New Testament and to the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and I'm giving you these references to show to you how through Scripture the principle of public worship is laid down. I'm not coming today with something novel. Matthew chapter 4 and the verse 23, "And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching in the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease, of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." He was teaching in their synagogues. Why was he teaching in the synagogues? Who was he teaching to in the synagogues? The people who were gathered together. Synagogue, the Greek word means to come together.
The whole principle of public worship, this coming together, is a principle laid down in Scripture. The letters that Paul wrote to the various churches, those were letters to be written out or read out to the churches at the times of public worship. Therefore, this principle is clearly laid down in Scripture. The principle of meeting together to glorify God. And God is more glorified, as we'll see in a moment. God is more glorified in public worship than He is in private worship. God is more glorified by our act of coming together than He is in our private devotions, although that is important as well. This principle is laid down because it gives glory to God. This principle is laid down as well because we feel God's presence, particularly in a time of public worship. The tabernacle itself, the place where the people were together outside the door of, it was there that the Lord's presence would be known. In Psalm 26 in the verse 8, the psalmist says, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth," of thy house, God's house, not our house, not our homes, not our sofas, but in the sanctuary. The place where thine honor dwelleth. Psalmist says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Why did the psalmist love the house of God? Why did he love being in the public times of worship? Because it was there that God was glorified, and it was there that God's presence was felt. The principle of the people of God coming together in one place is laid down in Scripture. That is why the Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to write to the Hebrew believers who were under persecution, believers who were under great affliction because of their conversion to Christ. And what did he say to them? Hebrews 10:25, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." Together. "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." Paul knew how important it was for the people of God to assemble themselves together. There's the principle laid down of public worship. Glorifies God. And we feel God's presence in a way we would not feel in our own home. But I want you to see not only the principle laid down, but building on that, I want you to see secondly now the priority set forth. The priority set forth. Come back with me, please, to Psalm number 87. Psalm number 87. And in the verse number 2, we read a very instructive, very insightful statement. "The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob." Zion, I always believe, is a reference to the church. The gathering of the people together talks about the gates, the coming and the going in and the going out. You bring those two thoughts together, the gates of Zion. What is it? It's the going in and the going out of people from times of public worship. It's clearly a gathering of the people together. And so what is referred to here in verse number 2 of Psalm 87
It is a time of public worship. And notice the priority. And yes, I would also go further and say the preference that the Lord has for public worship even above private worship. He talks about the dwellings of Jacob. That's a reference to private worship, the dwellings, the individual homes and families. The Lord loves the church, the public worship, more than the private worship. That does not mean he doesn't love private worship. So I believe the Lord himself is setting here a priority. As we think of this priority, notice the delight. The Lord says, I love the gates of Zion. What a wonderful thing today. God loves the gathering of his people here in this church. Downstairs, upstairs, wherever you are, God loves this gathering. It's a wonderful thought. God loves the thought of his people getting out of their beds in the morning, getting ready to come to church and taking their place in church. God loves that. He loves it more than the dwellings of Jacob. Yes, he desires private worship. And again, I keep emphasizing that is important. But what he delights in more is public worship. This activity that we are engaged in this morning of being in the sanctuary and not sitting on our sofas, this activity in the house of God, public worship, is something that the Lord delights in. And folks, surely if the Lord delights in it, should we not delight in it too? If the Lord places a priority on it, should we not place a priority on it too? If the Lord has a preference for public worship over private worship, should we not have a preference for it too? To think that one of the most spiritual things and pleasing things to the Lord that we can do on this earth is to gather ourselves together on the Lord's Day, publicly together. We live in an age of individualism. We live in an age where it's centered on me, me, me. Our public worship is to be centered on him, him. I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like going to church. It's not about us, folks. It's about him. Our public worship is to glorify him. You remember the returning captives? And they were coming back to the city, coming back to the house of God. And they said, I joyed when they said, let us go up to the house of God. Why? Because they knew that that act of them going to the house of God was something that the Lord took delight in. And they joyed. They joyed to go to God's house. There was fellowship. There was food for God's people. I have to be honest, and I probably won't win too many popularity contests as a result of this sermon today. But I have to be honest that this whole thing of keeping people apart is very worrying. People sitting in their own homes, in their own rooms, never interacting with other people. We were not created for that. The church was not created for that. We desire fellowship, yes, with God, but also with God's people. there is, I trust, in your heart today something very healing and something very blessed about coming through the doors of the house of God. Sadly today, the attraction of online church is all too prevalent. An online church is not, cannot ever be described as public worship. Cannot and is not public worship. It is not the coming together of the people. But sadly, many Christians have started to prefer it to the real thing. It's convenient. You don't need to bother about getting dressed. You don't need to bother to drive to a building just a few steps to your living room. That's handy because it suits me. But does it please God? No, I don't believe so. I say that again with the caveat, for those who are well and healthy and able to be out and about, God's house is where we should love to be. But you see, with online church, you can visit any church in the world. You want to listen to a better preacher than me, and that will not be hard to find. You can go to Sermon Audio, and there are some 35,000 preachers there. You can find any of them. You can click on 2 million sermons. Maybe some of them will be blessed to you. And if you're not gripped by one message, well, you can flick over to the next one. And if you don't like what Wilson's preaching about in Sandown, well, you can go to the church down the road. It's too easy. It's too convenient. But it is not public worship. And sadly today, and I have to say this, that the church has been as guilty of this as anybody else. There has been a downplay and a downgrading of the importance of public worship. Think of it. The very thing that the Lord says He delights in is the very thing that has been downplayed and downgraded throughout this whole pandemic. He delights in public worship because there He is glorified. There's too many distractions with online church. Could well be that some who have already started to watch this online are around the world somewhere by this stage. The dinner's ready in the ovens, baby, and I'll just go and make sure it's all sorted. Easy to pop in and out, switch between broadcasts, and through it all miss the presence of the Lord. People say, well, we're reaching far more. Just because something is popular doesn't mean it's right. You remember the vision that John saw on the Isle of Patmos in the Lord's day? He saw Christ in the center of His church. The gathered people, the people who gathered publicly, unitedly, He saw them. He saw Christ in the center of it. There is the delight of this priority. But I want us to come now and notice the duration of this priority. I trust that what we've seen already, that we see just how much the Lord delights in public worship on His day, but it's to be throughout His day. It's not the Lord's hour, it's the Lord's day. We should worship publicly, not just an hour on the Lord's Day morning, but throughout His day. And yes, again in the evening. The template, the pattern for morning worship and evening worship, again is laid down in Scripture. It talks about the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. You come into the New Testament, and the apostles were gathered on the evening of the Lord's day for worship. And a pattern that's been followed throughout the ages of the church, morning service and evening service. In Psalm 92, a psalm that's got all to do with the Sabbath day. Psalm 92 in the verse 1, it says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." It's talking about the Sabbath day. Can I say that our gospel meeting is not just another meeting? It's just not something to fill the church calendar or diary with. It helps us focus on the Lord throughout His day, His entire day. And sadly, today, the Lord's day has just become the Lord's hour, and the rest of the day given over to recreation, to leisure, and to worldly things. And again, the downgrade of public worship. And I urge you to join with us again in the evening, to continue in public worship throughout His day, the entire duration of His day. That's why I believe that throughout the day of the Lord there are things we should not be doing. We are to keep the Sabbath day holy. I was brought up in a home, and I know many been brought up in a home as well, and the Sabbath day, you dare to do anything. Well, some things you were told not to do it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for parents who instilled within me a love to get to the house of God on His day. And in between the two services, well, you went to sleep, you ate your dinner, whatever you did, but you didn't do anything else. His day. His day. And that means attendance at the same house of God on His day. We're not to be spiritual gypsies, running here, there, and everywhere, wandering around other churches. We should be committed to one place. When Ezra, in the book of Nehemiah, gathered the people together, what does it say? It says they stood in their place. They didn't wander off to different places. Dear believer, I say in love to your soul and pastoral care for you, you'll never advance by going here, there, and everywhere, hearing lots of different things. Stick to the one place and stay at that one place. Can I say as well that there should be an association with that one place? There should be an identification with that one place. And the best way you can associate and identify with that one place of worship is by joining that one place of worship, by becoming a member. Scriptural, it's biblical. Church membership is one of the instructions given to us in Scripture. And as a session, we would love to see others join with us. Young men, young women, older men, older women who are not members, you're in agreement with us and you want to join with us, you join with us. Become a member of this church. We're not to be lone rangers in the work of God. We are to identify ourselves with one church. A word of encouragement to our young families. What an encouragement it is to see children in church. And I say to our young families, I know it's hard. I only had a little of it. Rachel had to do most of the bringing up of our children in church because I was away at various meetings. But I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle. And you bring your little ones out to church and you wonder, what's it all about? You are doing something in those little hearts and those little lives that will stick with them. And as I've said to our young families, don't let a little bit of noise put you off. We were all children. And we weren't angels at that either. What you're doing, father and mother, by bringing your children to church, you're training them up in the ways of God. And God bless you for it. And you never know the encouragement that it is to this pastor to see the little ones in church and to this congregation. The letters of Paul were to be read out to the whole church. And I don't have time because time is gone. But I don't have time to go through it. And in that congregation, there were little ones, there were children. And without going down another rabbit hole, children's church is not church either. Children should be in the meeting, in the church. There's the priority set forth. The Lord loves it. It's His delight throughout His day. The principle laid down, the priority set forth. But as we close this morning, I want us to see now the pattern put forward. This is a subject all of itself, but with this I finish. You see, our public worship, our worship of God here in the church of God, in the sanctuary, is to be a little representation of what our worship will be in heaven. In heaven, we will worship the Lord for all eternity. Public worship on earth should reflect in some way that worship in heaven. Turn over with me, if you will, please, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. And here is John getting that vision into heaven. And they're worshiping the Lord. Revelation chapter 4, in the verse number 1, it says, after this I looked. Now, after this means after he had written to the various churches with all their issues and all their various problems. He says, after this, he had looked at worship on earth, but now he looks at worship in heaven. He says, behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither. First thing I want you to see about this worship, it was elevated worship. Come up hither. Listen, folks, in public worship, that's what we should be doing. Taking ourselves away from the things of this world, shutting out the things of this world, and for this little time, being elevated to heaven. Come up hither. You see, it takes us to a different realm. It transports us to the heavenlies. It's elevated worship. Verse number 2. We see its exact worship. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That, of course, was Christ. This worship was centered in Christ. It was Christ-focused worship, and that's how our worship should be on this earth. We shouldn't come to church to worship a man. Can I say, listen, if you've come to hear me, thank you, but you've come to worship Christ. And whether I'm in this pulpit or someone else is in this pulpit, you should still come to worship Christ. It's not about the man in the pulpit, it's about the man on the throne. Come to church whether I'm here or not. Come to worship Christ in this place whether I'm here or not. His glory, the Lord's glory, is to be the center of our worship. Turn over to chapter 5 and the verse 9. We'll see it's not only elevated worship, not only exact worship, but it was engaged worship. Revelation 5, verse 9, it says, they sung a new song. They took part. They participated in public worship. They were not just idle bystanders. They were participants. Come to church and engage in public worship. And you mightn't be the greatest singer. Don't worry. Sing out anyway. Don't switch off. Engage in public worship. And as we do so, center our thoughts, our minds upon Him. My time is gone. I apologize for going over the time. But let me close with this. Church on the sofa or church in the sanctuary, does it really matter? Yes, it does. Not because I say so. Not because it's something we've always done, but because the scriptural principle is laid down. God delights in public worship. God is glorified in public worship. What is man's chief end? What is it? It's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And one of the best ways we can do that is by engaging in public worship. It is in public worship that we glorify God. And surely should that not be the chief aim and desire of every Christian? The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. May the Lord speak to our hearts and bless His word.